It's Tuesday, 19th of May, 2020. It's the Lock-In Podcast, episode 13. And today we're going to talk about farming. My name's Conan Muinicon. I work for Black Knight. We're a guaranteed Irish company based in Carlow. And since this crisis began, we've been extremely busy. Almost a third of all Irish websites are hosted on our servers. And obviously, the internet has increased in importance since this crisis began. There are two things I want to mention. The first is that we're hiring for our tech support team. You can find out more about that job at blackknight.careers. And the second is that Irish companies have been asking us for help to set up quickly to trade online, not just with a brochure style website, but with an online store taking orders and arranging deliveries and collection. The result of that is a new product we've announced called Black Knight Shop Builder. I'll tell you more about it later in the show, and also about a live webinar that I'm going to be giving on this Thursday to demonstrate it. On to today's interview. My guest today is Cormac Farrelly, Managing Director of Agriland.ie, the number one news source for Irish farmers. Is that correct, Cormac? What is Agriland? Who are your readers and what do you know about them?
Well, who is Agriland? We're the largest agricultural news publisher in the country. So at the moment, we have about 50,000 unique users a day coming to the site, 300,000 a week or 700,000 a month. So that would be the largest agri audience ever put together digitally. We're the first ever digital-only publisher, so we have no print publication. We launched in July of 2013, and I suppose we've experienced exponential growth to this point to have gotten to the position that we're in now. What do we know about our readers? Quite a lot. They're farmers, they're people working in the agribusiness industry, they're dairy farmers, they're sheep farmers, they're tillage farmers, they're beef farmers. And we also probably would be very strong within the agribusiness sector. So that would be people, predominantly people working in agribusiness are also farmers themselves in their spare time. A lot of farming nowadays, a lot of the farmers are part-time farmers. So I suppose we were kind of servicing that entire market.
Now, there's been an assumption, Cormac, rightly or wrongly, that farmers maybe haven't been as affected as other sectors. Even in the deepest of the lockdown, farming and fruit production was listed as an essential activity. What has that meant in practice for farmers, Cormac? Have they been able to operate as normal? What have been the effects of the lockdown on agriculture, either directly or indirectly in terms of prices and market forces?
Firstly and foremostly, they're like anybody else. They're like doctors, they're like nurses, they're like police officers. So the biggest impact on them has been the social impact. You know, like they have had to do the various things that everyone else has been expected to do, as in restrict their movements. Probably the biggest impact from a social point of view has actually been the social impact, as in, you know, a lot of the age profile of a lot of farmers, they're older people. So, you know, a lot of the older farmers have had to cocoon, you know, which means, you know, they've really been limited in their ability to get out and about, not being able to go up to the local pub for a pint that they might have enjoyed doing. The marts have all closed down, which would have been a big social element of their life. So they haven't been able to go to the mart. So in the same way as every other person has been affected worldwide by COVID, farmers are no different. In terms of the economic impact of COVID on farmers, they probably were one of the first people to feel the economic impact, because ultimately, you know, farmers are food producers. So the value of what they're producing, be it beef or lamb or pig or poultry or dairy, has been impacted, and it's been impacted very, very quickly. Like, I mean, overnight, we've seen the immediate closure of the food services industry across Europe, you know, and if you look at what Ireland produces, like, I mean, Ireland is predominantly producing food for the global market. Like, if you take the beef industry, for example, we consume 10% and export 90% of what we produce. I suppose to think about that in another way, obviously everyone's aware that the likes of McDonald's, Burger King, Supermax have all shut down. But the impact of that is that, you know, it is an immediate impact not only on the beef side of farming, but also on the dairy side of farming, because you're talking about milk, you're talking about cheese, you're talking about beef. So overnight, all of that has ceased. And obviously that has then caused a huge economic impact on the value of these products and the ability to actually get them to consumers. You know, as I said, in Ireland, we're only consuming 10% of what we're producing. And even though an awful lot of people have been going down to local supermarket, maybe doing some panic buying and maybe, you know, shopping more regularly and maybe doing larger shops, that still doesn't compensate for the closure of the food services industry. Obviously, that's much, much bigger. You know, we've got, you know, the hotels, the restaurants, weddings, et cetera, has been cancelled. So the impact from that point of view has been quite severe.
It's an interesting point of view, actually, Cormac, because a simplistic view of it would be to say, well, people have to eat, and you know, a simplistic analysis of it would be to imagine that there hasn't been an impact on food producers. But it's more about the quality than the quantity, isn't it? And it's more about the types of industries. People aren't going to restaurants, they're not going to hotels, they're not going to functions and things like that. And that's an impact in terms of the markets that farmers are producing. When people go to the supermarket, they're doing a very different kind of shopping when they're cooking for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's my personal view is it's going to take months for the full impact of COVID really, really, really to take hold and to really demonstrate to everybody how, you know, what rebuilding post-COVID is really going to be. Like, I mean, if you take it, you know, this week we've heard a lot about the aviation industry, and there's been a lot of redundancies and redundancies announced by, you know, I think Ryanair have announced 3,000 redundancies, and Aer Lingus have announced redundancies as well. But like, if you take it, you take aviation out of the equation, you know, we're all familiar with jumping an airplane and heading off somewhere, heading off on holidays or maybe with work or whatever. Mm. And typically, you know, halfway during the flight, somebody will come down with a card and they'll say, well, do you want a coffee or do you want a tea or whatever. You know, that milk that you're being given in them little small strips, you know, that's all Irish milk that's being produced here in Ireland. So the ag food, the Irish agricultural industry have had a really, really immediate hit on that. So at the moment, what's happening, I suppose to get a little bit more scientific, and what's really happening there is, if you look at across Europe, and let's not forget that food is being produced at a global level. And in Ireland, we're competing globally and definitely at a European level for everything that we're producing. So what's happening at the moment is, in the UK, a lot of the milk processes would be set up to specifically, some of them would be supplying into the food services industry. So overnight, there is no route to market for their product. So what they're doing is they're then doing something else with milk. So they're drying the milk and it's then going into the global markets to be sold as milk powder or baby formula or whatever it is. And that then, with that extra supply coming into them markets, that are pretty sensitive to supply and demand kind of things. And that's having a major impact on the value of milk as a commodity. And then, therefore, that is having an immediate impact on what the co-ops are paying the farmer for the milk that they're producing. Now, bearing in mind that at the moment we're at peak milk production for Irish agriculture, so it's typically now the farmers are producing, you know, the largest volume of milk that they can, and it's now that really dictates whether that business enterprise is going to be profitable or not for this year. So obviously at peak supply, when the price starts dropping, that has an immediate impact on that particular farm enterprise. On the beef side of things, again, as I said a couple of times already, predominantly we're exporting the majority of the beef that we're producing. And in the last 2 years, Brexit obviously has been overhanging the market. Last year, we had a huge amount of, you know, protesting. Probably every consumer is aware of the amount of protesting went on last year about, I suppose, how uneconomic beef production was. But if you add in on top of that now, this year, the market's never really recovered last year in terms of beef price. And if you add in COVID now on top of that, beef prices have sort of fallen again further. And really what you're looking for from the beef side of things is for the global markets to pick up again, you know, for China and for France, for Germany and for the UK to really start opening up again and the markets starting to open up. But that's not going to happen until the food services side of the industry picks up again. Mm. And, you know, speaking to some people last week, and they feel that may not get to where it was post COVID, pre-COVID,
yeah,
ever again. Who knows how many restaurants are going to decide they're not going to reopen. You know, there's been a huge impact. I was talking to somebody recently, and they had to cancel their wedding, and their wedding has just been put off on the next year.
Mm.
So the whole sector, the whole tourism sector, that maybe for all of 2020, it's just not going to happen. And again, if the markets don't pick up and this whole year is written off, that means that the value of the dairy or beef or whatever it is for Irish farmers are producing is going to be affected for the remainder of the year.
Something that often strikes me in relation to agriculture, that there is there's an optimum time to sell your produce, whether it's beef, whether it's crops that are ripening at a particular time. And if you cannot sell or cannot get the price you need, if the market isn't there for your product at the time that your product is ready to go to market, then you're in trouble. You're looking for fodder. You have crops that are in the field or whatever it may be. Are we looking at crises like this at the moment for farmers? And how big an impact is that going to have on individual producers, Cormac, do you think?
On the dairy side of the house, dairy farmers are pretty protected in terms of the mechanisms they've put in place. They work very closely with the co-ops, with the cooperatives. So the way the dairy processing in Ireland is set up is you supply your milk to your local co-op, and in most instances, the farmers are also a shareholder in that co-op. So they're the supplier, but they're also the shareholder within the business that processes the milk. So they are insulated from that point of view. Obviously, there was some volatility in milk price a few years back. So at that point, a lot of the processes introduced forward selling of milk, so that the price of milk was set at a certain amount, and the farmer could elect to sell a certain percentage of that milk, forward sell that milk at an agreed price, so they could guarantee the return. And again, that happens a little bit on the tillage side of the house with the likes of Diageo, and there's a few different companies that are buying grains, and you can buy them you can sell them at a forward price. So the day you actually plant them, you can actually sell them at a price. Unfortunately, so both sides of them sectors are covered. Unfortunately, from a beef point of view, you're completely at the mercy of what the markets are returning at that particular point in time. But beef has always been like that. So beef is volatile. And, again, if you're looking at different types of food production, say chicken production or stuff like that, the lead time from chick to the processing the animal is probably 30, 60 days. Whereas with beef production, you're looking at 3 years, roughly approximately 30 months, between 30 and 36 months. So you're very invested in that particular animal. You don't have the ability to move very, very quickly and make big changes. So yeah, on the beef side of things, there is a big impact. On the dairy side of things, they do hedge it somewhat, so they're not as exposed. But yeah, there's no question that it's going to have a big impact for farmers for the remainder of this year.
I remember talking to you, Cormac, in the early days of Agriland.ie. You guys were just starting out. How have you grown since? How many people have you got working for you now? And how has your work practices been impacted by the crisis now?
It was actually the first interview I ever did, Con. So it's been the first. You're the first ever to interview me. What's Agriland now? Right now, at the moment, we have 30 full-time staff.
Wow.
So that's split across editorial, both news and technical content, video production, and then commercial departments and obviously finance departments. So it's 30 full-time staff. How has our business practices changed since COVID has come in? All the staff are working remotely. They have been working remotely for God, I don't know how long now, at this stage, probably 2 months. I'm here in the office. It's very quiet. It's very silent. I come up here for a bit of respite every day. We're a digital publisher. a lot of nonsense spoken about, you know, the move from, you know, like what I would call legacy print publishers to digital publishers and how it's different. You know, the way, if you're a digital publisher, a true digital publisher like ourselves, you know, I suppose the new breed of digital publisher, in most instances, you're working remotely a lot of the time. You know, you've got your laptop, you've got your iPad, you know, you're recording on your iPhone or whatever, you know, whatever you're doing. And so you can operate from anywhere once you have, once you have internet coverage, you're okay. So from that point of view, I suppose AgriLand is kind of designed for working during COVID, as in that, you know, once we have the internet connection and power, we're okay, we can operate. There is, however, in a business of the size and scale of AgriLand with 30 full-time staff, and as the business owner, you do miss that opportunity to talk to the staff as a group, you know, to monitor what's going on, to, you know, in terms of scheduling and rostering of staff and who's doing what and what they're meant to be doing. That, you know, that is a little bit more cumbersome, but like, no more than we're doing this interview over Zoom, you know, there's so many different products out there. I personally believe that post-COVID, we're all going to get used to a different way of working. Do you know what I mean? Like what we were doing before in terms of, you know, dragging people into offices and making sure everybody was in and everybody had a desk space and all that kind of stuff. I think them rules are going to be ripped up and we're all going to get a different way of working. So,
and it's interesting. It's interesting, Cormac, because, and I remember touching on this when I spoke to you originally and AgriLand was getting underway. Technology and digital media and that, it's not a problem for farmers. They're quite happy to get their farming and business news in their phones, on their smart devices, in their pockets, literally out in the field.
Yeah, like, I mean, there was the IFA, like, if I go back to 2013 when I started AgriLand, the general advice I got from everybody was that farmers would never do digital. And the IFA did a survey, the IFA, the Irish Farmers Association, did a survey among their members, which would be very, very representative of your average Irish farmer in terms of age profile, in terms of location, etc. And off the top of my head, I think that 94% of farmers said they owned a smartphone, and 87% of farmers said they used the phone predominantly to get news and information. So, you know, again, it's this, you know, nonsense that people talk about, that, you know, farmers are different to nurses, doctors, you know, me, you, anybody else. You know, their profession, they're food producers. Yeah. The concept that they don't do technology is ludicrous. It's laughable. And more so, Con, even a bigger, if we bring that a step forward, if you take the younger generation of farmers that are coming into the industry now, they're all educated probably degree level. They've all done extensive traveling, predominantly probably in Australia or New Zealand. And they probably, while in UCD, went to Coppers and fell in love with somebody, and they're now married in God knows what part of Ireland. You know, their spouses or significant others or partners, you know, they're working in all different types of jobs. You know, they're it could be Twitter, it could be Facebook, it could be whatever. So the average family farm household is no different than the household that's in Rathfarnham. You know, the kids want broadband. They you know, at night, you know, maybe they're not watching as much RTE or Network 2, and maybe it's more so you know, Netflix or Amazon or something like that. So the concept that you can take a sector like the agricultural sector and say that they just simply aren't very IT savvy at this point in time is just absolutely ridiculous. I do think that there's a lot of people, particularly the legacy print publishers, so publishers that were predominantly print-based publications, and, you know, you'll hear a lot of talk you'll hear a lot of talk about, you know, the model is broken and etc., etc. I don't think the model is broken. I think the model doesn't exist anymore. And it's them that have to change and come to the new reality, as opposed to consumers changing.
Well, Cormac, I wish you well, and agriland.ie as well, and that hope that you keep safe and well through the current crisis, and indeed the sector that you serve as well with your news and reporting. Thanks for talking to us on the Lock In podcast.
Thanks, Glenn.
That's Cormac Farrelly, Managing Director of agriland.ie. Very briefly, just to mention once again, Friday is the closing date for our tech support vacancy here at Black Knight. Go to blacknight.careers. And in response to public demand, we've launched a new product called Shop Builder. That's if you want to add e-commerce functionality to pretty much any kind of website that you may have already. This is a quick and easy way to do that. Go to blacknight.com/shopbuilder. That's it for this week. Back again on Friday. If you want to find out more about the podcast, we'll have notes in relation to this and the other episodes, as well as links and information on how you can subscribe on Spotify, on Apple and Google Podcasts and other places like that as well. The address is thelockin.ie. Good evening, Heather Ella, Sloan Agsbenacht.